But I want to follow Cheslin's example and ask a question this morning. So maybe just someone next to you quickly. I want you to tell them, who is God to you? Just briefly explain to them, who is God to you? I think that question is as deep as the ocean. And we can talk about that for a long, 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 long time. Right. So this morning, as we talk about walking in authority, it is something that I've been pondering over the last while, and when I get to the end of my sermon, that was actually the start a couple of weeks ago, that God really just stirred these things in my heart, and I'm so grateful for Nas and Lorette and Cheslin for the sermons they preached over the last couple of weeks. And I said to Lorette earlier, yo, I think this one should have been first. And it's almost like, you know, I'm going to have to pick up all three and put this one at the bottom and then put all three of those sermons back on it again. Okay? But God is not confused, and this sermon is supposed to be preached today. Okay? So I'm not worried about it, but that's kind of how I feel if we talk about walking in authority. I mean, the sermons that were preached, I think, challenge each one of us. And if you haven't listened to the last 3 weeks, they're on YouTube and you can go listen to them. And just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you even through those things. Because there's this theme that is carrying through these sermons. And you know, I kind of had slight input, but I must say I didn't say much to them as they preached. God just really, really did this. So I want to ask you, Cheslin spoke about the pursuit of God and the joy of pleasing Him. Now, it was a good sermon, right? Yeah, it was a humdinger. It was really cool, and I enjoyed it myself. But I want to ask a question this morning. Who of you have ever, in your pursuit of God, questioned Him? Okay, so I'm in good company. All right, great stuff. So we kind of go like, excuse me, God, what are you doing? Why is this happening? You know, sometimes when we're in church and in life, things happen and then we go, but why? And I've said this before, I think if I can answer the why question and charge you money for it, I will be stinking rich. I will have enough money because I can answer the why. Why did this thing happen? Why is that happening? You know, and if I can answer those things, it will be amazing. But in our journey with Him, in our pursuit with God, I think we all have had this place where you go, but why is this happening, Father? And that's a good question. So this morning, as we're going to look at authority, before we can actually speak about authority, we need to start at the source. Because if we don't understand the source of authority, we cannot truly walk in it. And we're going to mess it up. Okay? So I want to share three scriptures with you this morning. Now, these three scriptures are not bumper sticker scriptures. You won't see them on any car. Well, I haven't. You don't see them on a coffee cup. You don't see them as a logo or anything. So these three scriptures is probably going to challenge you as they challenged me this morning. So let's read the first one. First one is Psalm 115, verse 3. It says, our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. Now you have to think very carefully about this scripture. This God sits in heaven and He does all that He pleases. Now if you think about your why question, or you think about your circumstances or whatever, then there's a scripture that you can think about. So if He is God, if He is truly God, and He does all that He pleases, then what has my opinion got to do with anything? All right? He does all that He pleases. Daniel 4 verse 35 says this, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. Yeah, There it is. On scripture, all the inhabitants of the earth account as nothing. It does according to his will among the hosts of heaven. So even the hosts of heaven, God does there what he wants. Okay? And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say to his hand or say to him, what have you done? So I guess we're all guilty. Because we've said, God, what are you doing? You see, scripture says that the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. Now just think about this footstool idea. If I have a footstool and I go sit down, it is for my what? My feet. My stinky feet goes on the stool. All right? And that is what the earth is to God. I mean, it's like, you know, we are special to him because he died for us, etc. But I mean, this almost just put it in perspective for us about who God is and the role that we play. Romans 9:16 says this, and this is now in the New Testament. So then, and this is speaking about salvation. In Romans 9, he says, so then, it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. So we can actually not even save ourselves. It is up to God to move on our behalf, which he did, is when he sent his son to die for you and me to bring us back to him. What a powerful thought. And as I was just thinking about this and reading these scriptures, you know, it kind of almost leaves me in a place where I'm going, I really have to acknowledge who God is. And I think in our Christian walk, we are so grateful for grace, and we have become, you know, we're in a place where it's so good to know God that I think we've migrated to the place where we actually don't think of him in this way. We don't see him as the one who does what he pleases. You see, before we talk about authority, before I encourage you to walk in authority and to exercise what God is calling you to do, we need to understand authority and we need to understand who God is. And the fact is, he is sovereign. You know, we sung it in the second song, that God is sovereign. What does sovereign mean? What does sovereign mean to you? If God is sovereign, it means that he does what he pleases, isn't it? That's the short answer. So if I serve a God who does what he pleases, where am I with my opinion? See, God moves on the earth. And you can go read the Bible, how God uses various different scenarios to accomplish one thing, what he wants to do. And he uses even people to destroy or bring judgment on other nations who are disregarding who he is and actually destroys them. He actually used Israel for that. Where he sends them in and says, kill everything, animal, the whole tooth. There must be nothing left. Why? Because God is enforcing his judgment through these people. And I think we lose sight of the fact that he is God. We want to so make him our friend that we remove him as the one who has ultimate authority. And if we look at what's going on in the earth, we see that the leaders and the people of this earth actually do that. They disregard who God is. Why? Because they can't see him. I guess it's probably the main thing. I must just tell you, this sermon this morning, I'm actually quite afraid to preach this sermon because the one thing I don't want to do is not represent God right here this morning. But I believe the Holy Spirit, even through the messages before this, is calling us to a place where we have to to actually acknowledge what he is busy doing. The reality is, none of us can fix this earth now. Right? Okay, it's not convincing. Okay. You see, there's no king or leader that compares with him. There's no power or principality that can stand against him. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that he is God. And we should not lose sight of that in our walk as Christians, as in our walk as sons and daughters of God. We need to be aware of that, that he is sovereign. And that he can sovereignly use this life to do whatever he pleases. Oh, nee, wacht een beetje, Kobus. But I've got a plan, Kobus. But if your life belongs to him, and he is sovereign over your life, and he is God over your life, does he not have the right to do whatever he pleases with your life? You see, he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. In other words, he made everything. So if he's the one that made everything, if he's the one that created everything, then surely he has the authority to do what he wants with the creation that he created. The thing is, we were created to do what? To obey him. See, when we give our lives to him, Scripture says that we are created in his image, and through this life that we are living, he wants to enforce certain kingdom stuff into this world through those that are his. And you and I are those people. And we should not lose sight of that very thing. And we, as those who are created by him, need to obey him. But I think sometimes we obey him with an opinion. When he speaks, I go, yeah, but Lord, I got a question. Nah, what about if this happens? Lord, that sounds a bit hectic. I'm not sure I'm able to do that, you know. Instead of, you know, when you make food and you take out that favorite pot of yours that makes everything taste like, you know, heaven. And you put it there on the stove and you crank up the heat. And you start frying. What does the pot say? Die plaat is warm. Take me off this plate, ne? No, the pot says nothing. I said it, let's do this. And the one that's preparing the meal can put anything in there that they want. And the pot is just this vessel to carry whatever that person is busy with. In the same way, we were created to obey him, his instructions. See, we couldn't even save ourselves, could we? He had to send his son to die for you and me, to bring us back to him. In Isaiah 45 verse 9, he says this, "Woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among the earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles?" You see, this is a pot with attitude. Nah, he's going, "Excuse me, Mr. Maker, but I wanted handles. Why don't you put handles on me? Because I want to be one that you can carry easier. Not the one that you want to have to put on your head to carry. I want handles." The reality is, and you can go to someone that makes clay pots and something like that, you know, he takes that piece of clay, he slaps it down on that spinning thing, and he does whatever he wants with it. But do we allow God to do that with our lives? Do we allow God, even through the circumstances and the hardships that he faces, do we allow him to form us and make us into the person he wants us to be? As the vessel. James still says, "Gooi a party, because in this world you'll have trials." Trials are coming, guys. But they are there, I think, mainly to draw us back to God, to draw us closer to Him, to cause us to pursue Him more rather than to run away from Him. They are there to show forth His glory and His sovereignty in your life. And I must say, the times I've learned the most was probably through a trial. Well, I got to know a different aspect of who God is just because I went through a tough time. I mean, I know God as my provider because there has been so many times that we had nothing, we had to trust Him, and He was faithful and He provided. You see, I think as pots this morning, we need to understand our place before God. In a world that is so full of the rights that we have, the human rights and your right to this and your right to that, and you know, we've got rights. When we come before God, we want to stamp our feet and demand our rights, and the reality is He's the creator God. He's the one who made everything. You ain't got no rights. Because He wants to do with your and my life whatever He pleases to accomplish His will. Not a feel-good sermon this morning, I'm sorry. You see, hold up a Bible. Who's got Bibles? Faith the Bible. Here are yuppies. I'm one of them. You see, that Bible, what is it about to you? What is that Bible to you? A putt card. Okay. Let's hear some. Tell me what's the Bible to you. Nog? Heartbeat. Nou, die ding sit hier binnen. Right? Okay, your heartbeat, what else? Huh? Your ammo, your sword. Ja? Recipe. God's will. All right? You see, the Bible is actually a book about God and about His glory. That's what it's about. Every story in the Bible reflects one thing: who God is and His glory and His sovereignty. How He works with nations and people and individuals. See, God had this problem with the guys in the Bible. He's the creator God, the one who formed everything, the one who put everything together, and then man decides it's a good idea to use the stuff that he's made to create them as gods, to make them into gods. And God goes, excuse me, did you not just use the wood that I made to make a god for you? What are you doing? You see, because we pursue stuff in this world and we make them more than what they should be, and it actually still belongs all to Him. And He says in the scripture, all the cattle and 1,000 hill, the gold and the silver, and everything, you and I belong to Him. We were created in His image. We are not even original something else in that. We were created in His image. You see, the Bible is not a book about you. But humanism and our humanity, we've actually made the Bible about us. It's my map. No. It's about God. You see, it's not about your struggles and your desires. That's not what the Bible is. Yes, does God speak through us through the Bible? Absolutely. But that main purpose of the Bible and those that wrote it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is to reveal who God is to us. So one of the tools to get to know Him very well. See, our radical view of self and our individuality makes this book not about God anymore. It makes it about me and my stuff. Now, let me illustrate this to you quickly. Story of David and Goliath. Who've heard about that story? This is a story of this young little Roykop Lighty. It goes to Israel. He gets there, and there's this groot dude, Goliath, mocking the people of God, the nation who God chosen. Now, and off David goes, after a groot chat and even trying to put on Saul's armor, etc. And he walks up to this thing. Now, he kills him. We know this. And everybody's going, yay, Israel overcame. But is this story about David overcoming an insurmountable obstruction in his life? Is it about a nation that did not have guts but sent one guy and now they're coming through? No, the story about David is about the glory of God. And he used someone that was insignificant in the eyes of many people to accomplish what? His will. To bring his glory to pass. Yes, did David suddenly have fame and all the rest of it? Yes. But even as David walked, and we call him, and Scripture calls him a man after his heart, after God's heart. Why? Because David could walk with God, and in these circumstances and in his worship, he reflected the glory and the power and the majesty of God. As a king, that is what he brought to the table. He showed who God is. You see, this Bible is about a God who can stop the unstoppable, who can kill the unkillable, and who can redeem the unredeemable. It is about a God who can do anything. And sometimes I think we just put him in a box. The thing is, he will use your life and my life to accomplish what he wants to do. Lorette spoke about the living stones. And I so love that picture. You know, when I think of the living stones, I kind of think of a brick wall, the way we do it today. But it is like that picture that she had with all these different shapes and sizes of these wall stones that get built into this wall to fulfill God's purposes. Your life, my life, is about the glory of God, about us as living stones being built into this house for His glory. See, this congregation is not about shofar. This congregation is not about your gift and my gift, your talents and my talents. Yes, is this where we grow? Is this where God forms us? Is this where God put people next to us to shape and mold us? Yes. But this gathering is about the glory of God. May we never lose sight of that. We don't want to miss that. Every story in the Old and the New Testament reflects exactly that. The glory of God. God using men that are hiding, you know, doing stutter. There's almost no excuse that is reflected in Scripture that we can use to disqualify ourselves from God actually using us. I'm not tall enough, you know. It's about a story about a God who can do anything with anyone. So put that in your life. Just take your life, submit it to God. What do you think God can do with your life? See, your story and my story is not about us. Your life story, my life story is about Him. And why can we say that? You see, because you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You gave over the keys and the ownership of your life to Him. When I drive in my bucky, and I suddenly take a short left and I go over sand and hills and stuff, I don't hear my Hilux complaining. It just goes. Because it's a Toyota, of course. But you know, so if God takes a short left with your life, something that you didn't expect, why do you complain? Why do I complain? Because I think we have lost sight of the sovereignty of God over our lives. It's like we want to tell Him what He can and He cannot do with this life anymore. But if I don't have the ownership, if I don't have the title deed to my life, then it is his. The one who owns it, to do with his life whatever he pleases. See, it's not about you conquering your obstacles. It's not about your amazing faith. It's about his glory and his authority in your life. It's about his demonstration of his life, of his power in your life. And this is the thing, saints. God wants to demonstrate who he is through your life in the very place that you find yourself at. Now, sometimes we get uncomfortable because, you know, I'm in a workplace and it's really uncomfortable and it's not so good. And if you come speak to me, one of the first questions that I'll probably ask you, if you're telling me, Yuni, I want to leave, my question will be, but did God say go? Because if you speak to people, most of the times, that, you know, when they're praying for a job and they get the job, they go like, yes, Lord, thank you for this work. It's amazing. I'm in this work now. Great. You know, 3 months later, sure, Lord, it's hell. I need another job. That doesn't work for me anymore. And then what do? They apply for another job. And they leave. And my question always just is, but did he say leave? If you say that he gave you that job, is he the one that says, I'm finished with you there, please move? And we need to keep in mind that when we work, in our interaction in this world, for God it's only about one thing. People. It's always about people. And he wants to use your life and my life to demonstrate his power and authority. This seemingly insignificant life. Because we all can disqualify ourselves, right? I can go like, oh, yes, Lord, no, I'm not good enough for this. I'm not able to do that, Lord. You know, we sound like Moses and these guys. Here I am, Lord, send someone else. I'm stuttering, I can't speak, or I'm hiding, or whatever. But God wants to use your life. And we see this beautifully demonstrated when we look at the book of Job. And then in chapter 38, God has this conversation with Job. And I'll read to you the first couple of, but go read chapter 38. I mean, I'm so glad I'm not Job in that scenario, because like God is just tearing him apart with the questions that he asks. So the first couple of verses reads like this. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? So now I'm already, Job is now going, no, I was not there. Okay? Tell if you have understanding. So now God is challenging him. He's like, Job, come on. You're moaning, you're groaning, you're saying a lot, but come speak to me now. What's your opinion about this thing? You know, where were you? What is your understanding about the foundations of the earth that I laid? Who has set its measures for you to know? Or who has stretched the line on it? What are the bases sunk? Or who cast its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors, when it broke forth and it came from the womb, who made the clouds its robe and the darkness its navel band, and set my limit on it, and set bars and doors, and said, you shall not come to here, but no further, and here your proud waves will stop. And I've wondered about this. Why does the sea stop where it stops? You can drive to Bloberg, and you get there, and what does happen? The sea comes to there, and it stops. Even met the springgety. That's as far as it goes. And God says to Job, but listen, I hear your arguments. I hear what you're saying, but understand, I've set all these things in place. I am sovereign. And if you can read the rest of that chapter, it is incredible how God challenges him and speaks to him about the stuff that he did. And he says, but where were you? You see, we are very special to God, and He loves us so much, but we are insignificantly small in the light of who He is. But sometimes we act and we move and we live like we're equal to Him, and we're not. See, for us to walk in authority, we need to recognize the one who actually has the authority. In Matthew 28:18, in this scripture, you know very well, and it starts off and it says this, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. So here God actually, Jesus confirms it. All authority is resurrected. Man, I've got it all. All the authority, now go. Why can we go? Because I'm so olik, right? Because I've got all the gifts and talents that God wants, I can go on the basis of that, right? No. The only reason that I can go is because all authority has been given to Him, and He is sending me. So I'm an agent, I'm a herald, I can move forward only because He has sanctioned me to do so. So Matthew 28:19 says this, and this is where we need to understand the delegated authority of what God is doing here. See, He's got all authority. Now He delegates some of that authority. He's not abdicating. He's delegating authority to us. Therefore, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Firstly, go teach the nations. Then baptize them. Teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you, and behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. So He says, go, and I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going with you. My authority, my sovereignty will move with you. Now, listen, let's just think about this. Your daily walk, your life, whatever you're facing. You wake up in the morning. It's like, this maandag. And you know deadlines are coming, and you know stuff is here now, and it's like, yeah. Can we rewind to Friday? Can we just have a weekend? Some of you don't even have weekends anymore. Sis! See, but what if I wake up with the understanding that I'm being sent? That today I'm on an adventure with the one who has all authority, who is today able to do anything. Today I'm on His adventure. Would I not then be able to move in that authority? If I submit my life to Him in the morning, I say, God, let this life do whatever You want it to do. Can I be aware of what You are doing in this earth, and can I just partner with You? How will your day change? You know, when you walk into your work and the stuff happens, which happens so often, and you're working from that place where you know who the one is that created everything. And then John 15:16 says this, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit will remain. See, you are chosen. You are ordained. We talk about ordaining pastors. Excuse me, you are ordained for what? To bring forth fruit, some good fruit, not the bad fruit. Your life is ordained to bring forth good fruit. And that fruit will remain. Because you are chosen. I am chosen. God has set you apart for the specific reason. Exactly where you are. Matthew 5:14 says this. And this is where my pondering started about this whole sermon. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You see, this authority that we have given makes us the light of the world, right? This is what Jesus is saying here. He says, you. Turn to someone and say, you. Say, hey, you. Because you are chosen, because the delegated authority is in your life, he's saying you are the light of this world. And we need to be exactly that. You know, if you switch off the light, and it's what happens? Darkness comes. It doesn't ask permission, it just comes. And don't you think in this earth today that there's too many lights that are switched off? If you have to rate yourself in terms of being light and being not, from a scale to 1 to 10, what would your score be? Are you more off or are you more on at least? What light are you shining? Or are you just like, yeah, no. Huh? I can. You know, you can switch off your light by just disqualifying yourself. By looking at your circumstances and going, oh, shucks. We serve a God who is sovereign. I think Laurette quoted this next scripture in her sermon. Isaiah 60 verse 2 says, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you." Saints, darkness, the enemy wants to bring darkness on this earth. Can we recognize that? In our government, in our water tariffs, in our petrol budget. You know, when God started speaking to me about this, it's that sense of, if there's no light, there will be darkness. Again, the darkness doesn't ask permission to come, it just comes. Why? Because there's an absence of light. And you and I are called to be a city on a hill. Together, our light needs to bring light to that room, to this world. And I want to encourage you and me, you know, if there's ever a time that we need to boldly show our light, it's now. We know the harvest is ready. We know God wants to do stuff. And that's where that second part of the scripture comes. But the Lord will arise upon you. You know, Laurette says this often. She says, God can't steer a ship anchored in the harbor. This ship must at least leave the harbor. And it's important that you and I leave the harbor to allow. You want to walk by faith? Leave the harbor. You want to walk by faith? Get out of your comfort zone. Do the stuff that you say, oh, that's not me. Ja, daar trap ek nou op tone. With third year Bible school, we when you get there, you have to do a mini sermon. I love it. See, because it's not optional extra. You have to do it. And once you do that, it's beautiful to see. You must hear Carolyn preach. Woo. And Deborah. Woo, Deborah was, it was Lazan. Yes, hulle het gepreach, hoor. That was good stuff. You know, you wanna go on an exciting journey with God? Allow him to take you beyond your comfort zones and your own securities. Because that's there where you are not in control. And he is. And it's good fun. John 1 verse 4 to 5 says this, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." That's you and me. His light in us. The enemy cannot overcome it unless you turn off the light. When the stuff in here is too much, when you recognize more the size of your Goliath, of your situation, and not the size of your God, because is that not what David did when he walked up to that guy? He said, "Ek kom hier met jou met stokke en kiries en knopkiries en pangas en you know, ek kom na jou toe in die naam van die Here. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I don't come with any other weapon that I've made. I come to you in the name of the Lord." You see, because when you come to him in the name of the Lord, when he threw that, I don't know if you've tried to do a slingerfell thing. We made those as kids. And like a long rope with a piece of leather at the bottom, and then you put a rock in there and you start swinging that thing. And then you have to let go just of one of the ropes to actually be able to throw this thing. David was good. You see, but I also realize in the hand of God, a simple tool like that can kill a giant. When we actually got, you know, if you throw and you actually hit it, you go like, yes, but that was one out of who knows how many throws. We got better later, but it's a skill. So I know that David missing Goliath's forehead, I mean, come on, Hiristiki, was good. Plus, he had a helmet on, so he had to hit him mooi reg. That's God. Ephesians 6:12 says this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now get this. Please get this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Your boss is not the enemy. Your skoonma. Okay, let's call us lost a skoonma. I've got a great skoonma, so I'm blessed. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age. There that darkness thing comes again. Against the spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, and as I was pondering about this, I realized that if I am the light of the world, and the enemy wants to bring in darkness, then all I need to do is pitch. Not in who I am, but in who he is, as sovereign God. That I can resist the darkness, that I can stand against the darkness, the powers and the principalities. You know, all that we are facing is not, you know, the physical is just a manifestation of what is actually happening in the spiritual. And we need to recognize that the enemy is very busy in the spiritual realm. And he wants to get South Africa to be rubbish. And we should not allow that. You know, we talk about intercessory prayer and standing on the wall and these things. But we can stand there because we are the light of the world. Because God has deposited his spirit within us. Therefore, we can stand. So I want to close with this. Cheslin asked the question last week, who will rise up? This morning I want to say rise up. Stand up and be counted. Your comfort zone, delete it. Speaking to myself. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have overcome the world. And then he says, you are more than a conqueror. Come on, saints. We shouldn't grovel anymore. We shouldn't hit the pity party situation. We should know who we are. And we should walk in that. All authority has been given to him. Therefore, go. There's one problem with go that I have. It's the meaning of go. It means go. And the problem that I have with that is that it doesn't involve my butt. I can't sit. Because it's what we like to do. Is we like to do nothing. Sit. I'll pray from my chair. I'll pray from my bed. But I will not pitch for intercessor prayer. Whew, knows it's dull. Are we not the light of the world? You know what happens when we get together? You can have one candle in a room, but if you bring 20 other candles, what happens? You can begin braai. Yeah, and you can see what you're braaiing. Okay? But when there's so many light coming together, the light becomes overwhelming. You see, Jesus prayed that we will be one as Him and the Father is one. So if we start moving as one, if we all bring our light and our passion for Christ in one room, in one place, in one wherever, what will happen? You see, the powers and the principalities have to recognize that. And in the name of Jesus, they have to flee. We are on the winning side, after all. And God is still sovereign. God is sovereign, saints. I need you to get that this morning. He does whatever He wants. He works with the people of the world in the way that He wants. And we need to recognize what He is doing in the nations of the world even right now. You know, we look at it and we think it's chaos. And all I see is God using different pawns to bring certain things to pass so that His glory will fill the earth. He's setting it up. And we have the privilege of being part of it now. And now, flying to Australia is not the option. Or New Zealand. Or God is moving here in His sovereignty. Do we recognize it? Are we at peace to allow God to move? Are we at this time shining our light in this earth so that the world may know Him? I hope so. See, we need to walk in that authority. As a church and as an individual, God has delegated authority to you. Walk in it. We need to grow in boldness in living this life God is calling us to do. We cannot shrink back anymore. As a son and a daughter of God, you have that delegated authority. And as God moves, so we move. So I want to challenge you this morning to just think about the stuff that is going on in your head, in your family, in your work. And then I want you to sit still and recognize what God is doing. And I guess to get to that place where you submit under the sovereignty of who He is. And I'm convicted because I think sometimes I'm on autopilot, if I can call it that. Because of stuff that I've learned and so on, and I've lost sight of the sovereign God who can do anything. And I have the joy to walk with Him, to allow Him to shine, to be pleasing to Him, to pursue Him, to be pleasing to Him. May this life only have that effect at this time. That as I pursue Him, as I draw closer to Him, as I get to know Him better as God, that life will just flow through me in this earth. That people will know that He is God, that His glory will shine. Saints, your life is not about your stuff. Your life and my life is about the glory of God. Punt. And for Him to do what He wants to do, in the way that He wants to do it, whatever He wants to do with your life. Let's pray. So, Father, we come before You this morning, Lord, and we thank You just for Your Holy Spirit in this place and Your presence, God. Lord, I thank You that You've called us for a time such as this to show forth Your glory. And, Father, we want to pray that prayer that is so dangerous on the one side, but, Lord, we want to become less so that You can become more. May the world see less of us and more of You. Lord, I pray this morning that You will work in every heart and that, Father, You will bring revelation and understanding of where we need to adjust and where we need to change. Lord God, that we will align our lives not to what we think should happen, but what You are busy doing. And I thank You, Father, that Your word says that You've given us the Holy Spirit to teach us at this time so that we will understand it. This morning, Lord, we look at You, the sovereign God, the one who does whatever he pleases. And Lord, as the creation or your created beings, Father, we submit to you. And we ask that you will have your way in our lives. We surrender to you this morning, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for the call on each life here this morning. We thank you, Father, that as Lorette preached about the three churches, Father God, that we will move in what you are calling us to do at this time, that we will not be asleep or dormant at this time, but Father, we will be the ones that are bearing fruit, Father. Father, may we pursue you with joy and pleasure. May we understand who you are, a sovereign God, Father, and may this world know that through us. In Jesus' name, amen.